This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Well, the governor doing a state of the state address, and many thinking it had nothing really to do with the state. Part of a spotlight segment on Long Island this morning, Assemblyman Dean Murray representing the 3rd Assembly District. Nice enough to join us. Very happy New Year to you, sir.
And happy New Year to you, and a very cold and snowy New Year to you, Jay.
Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, it is it's a rough one, but nonetheless, it's January here on Long Island. So, Dean, you know, I was listening to the speech yesterday, and boy, I tell you, you know, we've spoken about this before. Aspirations 2020 for the White House. That's what this speech to me was all about.
It couldn't have been more clear. This was a two-hour presidential campaign rally, if you will, with one guy doing the rallying up there at the podium. Let's just say it wasn't exactly the state of the state we would be used to. It was more of the state of his personal ambitions of running for president in 2020. And unfortunately, his ambitions, he wants them to be on the backs of taxpayers of New York.
Yeah, of course, suing the federal government. I mean, you know, to me, and I've said this all along, you know, with this whole tax plan, you know, Governor, give us some solutions. Now, listen, I give him credit, the executive order allowing people to pay before year's end, okay. But give me some real solid substance of how you, sir, who run the state, are going to fight this. Don't tell me about suing Donald Trump and the federal government and everything else here. Everything centered on Capitol Hill. I want to know what you're doing for the state of New York. He gave me no substance.
Well, Jay, here's what he gave you. He gave you bluster and a bunch of political talk. Let's think about this. He wants to sue the government because he says that this tax or this new tax plan unfairly targets certain people over others. Sounds to me very, very familiar. Does that ring a bell? A few years ago, the MTA payroll tax that was imposed on a small portion of the state. Long Island and Staten Island, Westchester, and that area, and not anywhere upstate or anywhere else in the state. We were saying the same thing. How are you unfairly targeting? But our argument was not that you can't do that because they were doing it with a millionaire tax. They would target certain people who were making more money. So this whole argument about it's unfair, it targets this, that, the other, it doesn't. I mean, it's hitting us in New York because New York's taxes are so high. That's why it's targeting, if you will, New York. It's all across the country. It's the same plan for every state in the nation. It just, as I said, impacts some of the high tax states, which happen to be run by Democrats. And so when he's arguing that it's unfairly targeting, it's just a ridiculous argument. But his plan now, I don't know if you heard the suggestion he had. Of course, it wasn't to cut and try to reduce our spending so that we could lower taxes for taxpayers. No, his first thing out of the box, we're going to tax people again. His idea is for a payroll tax that will target any corporation. These are his words when he was saying that any corporation that benefits from the federal tax plan, we're going to come in as a state. And before that benefit is even felt in their pocket, we're going to reach in and grab it and take it for New York State. So he wants to tax job creators. Now, how well did that work in the past? It's a ridiculous idea, but it's a typical idea coming from this governor. First reaction, raise taxes. My reaction is, let's cut spending. Let's find ways to reduce the spending and reduce the burden on the New Yorkers that are still here in New York. Because as you've seen, New Yorkers have been fleeing the state in record numbers lately.
And for good reason, talking with Dean Murray, he, the assemblyman of the 3rd District, and you're right, no question about it, the governor's 8th state of state address. And, you know, I look at a $4 billion and counting type deficit, potential $2 billion revenue loss in federal aid. You know, I look at a subway system that stinks within the city. I'm looking at a state senate that's who knows which way there. I'm looking at the upcoming corruption trials. Oh, yes, it's an election year, by the way, too. I tell you right now, this governor, maybe the worst address I've ever heard coming from a leader. You have so much out there and so little information. That's what bothered me about this. And it's just incredible to me how a governor can talk like this and not get into the crux of anything.
It was a two-hour speech. It was a two-hour, basically, political campaign speech from this governor talking about all of these things. He even went back to the last 15 minutes in what is supposed to be the state of the state. In other words, it's supposed to be an address about where the state is and where we would like to take the state. So this is what the purpose of this state of the state is. He draws back, and the last 15 minutes of this speech, he spent recapping his career as governor. He went back to 2011 when marriage equality was passed. He went back to all these other different issues that were taken up over the past 7 years. Why? What's the purpose other than to lay out his credentials as to why he should be the progressive candidate for president of the United States in 2020? The people of the state of New York, as you so aptly pointed out, are facing a lot of issues and a lot of problems. These are tough times right now. The economy is starting to come back. It is starting to bounce back, and the engine's starting to rev up. And the first thing the governor wants to do is try to throw a monkey wrench into it by taxing job creators with a payroll tax. That just doesn't make sense, Jay. This will continue the spiral downward. Again, what we've got to do, we've got to tighten our belts here. We've got to reduce the spending. We give more Medicaid benefits and options than almost any other state. We spend more in Medicaid in New York State than the entire state operating budget of the state of Florida. I mean, we just can't keep giving and giving and giving and reaching into the taxpayers' pockets to pay for it. We have to stop.
No question about it. Talking with Dean Murray about the governor's so-called State of the State address yesterday, just a two-hour diatribe, in my opinion, of absolutely nothing. You know, I wanted to hear more regarding the opioid crisis. I wanted to hear more regarding the gang violence. I wanted to hear more about infrastructure. And I always remember, Dean, years past, he'd talk about projects of that nature. And you could just tell his mind is in other places by not really devoting a lot to infrastructure and the tunnels and the rails and everything. And we have a biggest problem with the Long Island Railroad right now. I look at the last, you talk about the summer of hell coming up, which, by the way, officially starts Monday. And look what this railroad has been going through. Has anyone noticed the last week with broken rails and everything else happening? What a nightmare beyond belief here. I want to hear more. I want to hear more about infrastructure. I didn't get anything.
No, what it was a recap of the projects that we've already talked about and already put into place, which, you know, good. We've been doing some things, but there's as you said, there is so much more that has to be done. But what I wanted to hear, and it's funny you had said that, Jay, there was a buzz in the auditorium there. There was kind of a buzz on the floor about the same thing, that, you know, we're not really hearing anything. It was one of the longest state of the states, but it was one of the emptiest state of the states, too. There just weren't a lot of details. Give me another example. Education, one of the biggest issues on Long Island, one of the biggest issues in New York State, the Common Core. You know, when parents were opting their students out of the testing and all, it was huge. So what happened? There was a 3-year moratorium put on the APPR, which is the teacher evaluation. A 3-year moratorium put on that tied to testing. Well, that moratorium ends in 19 next year, and we haven't heard anything about this. There was nothing in his state of the state about how we're going to address this. There was nothing in the state of the state about how we're going to address education funding other than, and I agreed with him on this point, he did bring up as far as bringing the funding to where it belongs to the needier school districts. He did briefly, ever so briefly, mention that with no actual real plan as to how we're going to do it. But he did kind of mention it during the speech. That was the only mention of education at all in a two-hour-long speech, which to me is absurd.
That is an excellent point, Common Core. You know, we're going to have Tim Creamer on from the School Boards Association, he being the executive director, and we're going to talk about just that very notion of not really focusing on education. So many questions. Incredible stuff talking with Dean Murray here regarding this speech. So what happens now going forward, Mr. Assemblyman? Session kicking in through June. You know, you hear an address like this, I can't imagine what the state senate, what the state assembly could be thinking here. Where do we go and what kind of accomplishments and what might be on the Murray agenda right now going forward here?
Well, one thing, as I said, you know, education, we've got to tackle the issue of what we're doing with the teacher evaluations, what we're doing as far as the standardized testing moving forward, the curriculum. They supposedly, Common Core is gone, but let's take a good look at the curriculum that's replacing it. Is it just a rebranding of Common Core, or is it truly a better curriculum with more local control over it? Because that's what we want to see. So those questions are still up there, and we're going to have to address those this year. And as I mentioned, that three-year moratorium on the teacher evaluations being tied to test scores, that ends next year. So we've got to take action this year. We've also got to be very creative as to how we're going to get more funding to the needier school districts because, as you said, we're facing a deficit. So this is going to be a very contentious year. The governor, and I want to give you this phrase, Jay, recapture tax. That was kind of the buzzword up there, and I think that's what he was talking about when he was talking about a payroll tax where he's going to hit the job creators and these corporations and companies. What he's forgetting is 90% of the companies in New York State are small businesses. They are not big corporations that can take a tax increase. So we're going to have to address that, and I think that's the phrase they're using is recapture tax. So they want to grab back any money that these companies would have saved under the new tax plan. New York State's going to try to grab it back, and we're going to have to fight against that. The Senate has already said no tax increases, period. So it's going to be very, very contentious because, as I said, it's been proven that this governor and the leadership in the assembly tends to like to tax and spend quite a bit. And the taxpayers in New York State just cannot take it. They're at the breaking point. And that was my point again. If you needed any other evidence that New York taxpayers are at their breaking point, we've had nearly 200,000 residents flee this state in the past couple of years. They're leaving in record numbers. That should really be a wake-up call that we have got to make New York State more affordable. We've got to make New York State more business-friendly, work with businesses so they succeed and grow, creating new jobs, better-paying jobs, so that our kids can afford to live here and our retirees can afford to stay here. And that's not happening right now. It's you know, I don't want to sound doom and gloom, but it's a scary time, and we've got to you know, look outside the box and come up with creative solutions and ways to cut the spending and cut the burden on the taxpayers.
And that's what worries me more, you know, the fact that, you know, with this tax bill in place and how it'll hurt the island and the property tax cap deduction at $10,000 and decreasing home values, you know, I look at the youth who might want to set up shop here and wonder, you know what, is it really in my best interest to purchase a home? Maybe I ought to rent, or maybe I ought to just flee altogether the state. I mean, these are big questions right now regarding this stuff. And I didn't hear a lot about that yesterday.
Here's the question I was looking for the answer, because here's a solution that somehow eludes this governor. And that is, yes, you laid out the plan that with this new tax plan, with the $10,000 cap on the SALT deduction, with that in place, you say, well, it's going to lower property values. It's going to lower, you know, the real estate values. So what do we do about it? Well, instead of suing Washington, as you said, why don't we lower the tax burden in New York State? Because if we do that and we lower the property taxes, it would not affect the value because it would lower those taxes, but the deduction would still stay at $10,000. So every penny that we can lower our local property taxes, that's money that the property values will not drop. And we actually will feel more of the benefit of the tax plan. So, again, it eludes me as to how that simple solution of, hey, why don't we cut spending here and lower property taxes? There's a novel idea, but instead, again, yeah, right out of the gate, the first thought is, let's tax more.
And the reason being is he's setting himself up for the White House, a run in 2020. We're talking with Dean Murray, a couple of minutes left. Two more things, Dean. You know, transparency has been a very big word around here lately, and I don't think he's practicing what he's trying to preach here in the fact that disclosure, there's just nothing happening. I'll give you a case in point. When he has a field, his pool of reporters, word is questions are being filtered to him based on those types of questions from these reporters. And he's picking his own pool of reporters. I mean, what is going on here? This isn't transparency at all. I mean, it is ridiculous.
No, he's trying to control everything. But I'll give you a better example, Jay, and it just happened a week ago. So you mentioned that the governor's executive order, the one thing that he did to combat this, the executive order to allow people to pay their taxes early, right? Great plan, good idea. Covered by the news media from Buffalo to Montauk and everywhere in between. I mean, just covered it all. And then there were news stories locally about the towns accommodating the taxpayers by staying open later in the tax receiver's office. So, I mean, everyone knew about this executive order. But what does he do? He directs the Empire State Development Corp, which is supposed to be about economic development, for them to spend, and what I'm assuming is probably millions of dollars, on a huge advertising campaign promoting his executive order. He didn't even pay for it, Jay. He has another department, which, by the way, is exactly what the FBI is investigating him for, is doing practices like that. It's circumventing transparency and going through other departments to spend money in what I deemed as another Cuomo promo. At the taxpayer's expense.
Exactly. And that leads me to this lawsuit. Was there any buzz yesterday regarding a lawsuit of around $247 million or so in taxpayer-funded promotional ads? You mentioned the Empire State Development, the ESD, the startup signature programs that we have all been inundated with billboards and TV ads, you know, the Startup NY, the so-called New York State of Opportunity, the Taste New York, Startup New York. Was there a buzz of this nature? Reclaim New York, the nonprofit that is really the watchdog, done a great job. In essence, what about that? What about that in the auditorium yesterday? Anything of that nature?
Not really in the auditorium. Outside, they were handing out some pamphlets about it and talking about it. And I have a couple of people that I've dealt with in the past that are part of Reclaim New York that we were talking about it. I think it's a good idea. We've got to, again, as you said, bring transparency and put some sunlight on this because I sent a letter actually to Howard Zemsky, the head of Empire State Development, asking why. Why were you spending this money and running these promos for this governor? Why were you spending taxpayer dollars to do this, and how many jobs were created from these commercials? Because that's what you're supposed to be spending our taxpayer money on, is creating jobs and creating opportunity for businesses, not running the governor's promos at taxpayer expense. And you're right, that happened through Startup New York to the tune of at least $53 million in commercials and advertising. And it was all for Cuomo's promos. It was all to promote him. And ironically, Jay, with the Startup New York money, most of it happened 4 years ago. Well, gee, what happened 4 years ago? Oh, that's right. He was coming into an election year. The exact same thing just happened now. as we're going into an election year for the governor.
No, he's something else. Of course, recently signing this measure requiring, by the way, reimbursement of these legal fees when a plaintiff substantially prevails, by the way. And after waiting, for what I understand, Dee Murray, more than 6 months for basic documentation. It's another example of why we need this strong, you know, increasingly strong law that demands the T word, transparency. You have to have this when an administration spends hundreds of millions of tax dollars on these glitzy type promotions without basic public disclosure of how and why those dollars were used. This is why you need something here. Terrible, terrible situation.
Absolutely.
Can't thank you enough for a couple of
friend. The taxpayers deserve to know.
No doubt. Stay warm, all right?
Hey, thanks, Jay. And listen, you be careful going home. You make sure you have like a snowplow or something to bring you home there, because it's getting a little bad out there.
Let me tell you something. I've got all I need. I've got my crew here. I've got my crew here to help me lead the way past out of this airport. Hey, always a pleasure. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon.